You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At Enterprise, we know you're constantly on the move. Getting this?
Thanks, Mom.
Fixing that? You reach a destination, and then it's on to the next. And when life is moving at the speed of, well, life, Enterprise is right there with you, around the corner and around the globe. We'll keep you moving forward. Enterprise, for lives in drive.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 30th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Maggie. How are you doing, Maggie?
I'm really good, Taryn. I'm super excited to be here and talk about Big Brother with you.
Yes.
Coming in and out.
Yes. Of course, as soon as the broadcast started, the internet seems to have gone a little wonky. If you can plug in or maybe get closer to the router, that tends to help a bit.
Okay.
But we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 56 in the house, and it was an okay day here. The first thing that they did in the day that happened in the day is that they got a video from Dr. Will, and he gave them a hint about being three steps ahead.
Yes, quoting the great Tyler and Angela from the Big Brother 20 double eviction. But actually, I know Twitter was super, super mad about this. But it gave us a lot more to talk about today because the house guests started to scramble and some of them started panicking, which was exciting.
Yes, exactly. I was on this very podcast talking about how annoyed I was about this triple eviction. I'm still relatively annoyed, but I actually like that they got a hint here. It has forced them to strategize more, which I think will lead to a more exciting triple eviction with less sort of disappointing results, hopefully. And we did get some strategy here today instead of, you know, what we've had for most of the week, which is just kind of like hanging out.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really fun to watch people scramble who have felt super secure and I think are starting to realize that maybe they're not as secure as they thought. Like Danny sort of had a rough day from the way that I saw it. So it was really fun to sort of watch her start to be like, nobody's talking to me about what they want to do. And I'm getting a little nervous. And I was like, yes, Danny, you should have been nervous a few weeks ago. But, you know, we'll get there.
Yes. So basically with Dr. Will's three steps ahead thing, they are thinking, so three people are probably going to leave this week. And their thought was, okay, it's probably going to be a fast forward tonight. And then there's going to be a double on Thursday. That was the prevailing theory. And of course, as it became obvious that there was not going to be an eviction that night, they started to go, what is going on?
I wonder, but they wouldn't do a triple because that would be way too much gameplay. Like they would fast forward through all the weeks. That's what, that was a literal conversation between Christmas and Memphis. And I was like, I wonder if Christmas has been listening to Darren.
Yeah. Memphis literally said like, that would be so dumb. There's no drama or gameplay involved with that. They would just like, what is the point? And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yo.
Exactly. So we'll see. I'm really hoping for a good night. I'm ready. Me and my roommates are going to have a really good time. We've got our plans. We're going to sit down and pray for some exciting stuff on Thursday. So
we'll see. We'll see. So Kevin, thinking that the eviction might be that night, is going to start campaigning pretty hard. He's going to go around to everyone, basically promising the world to everyone that he will go on the block for them, that he will not put them up, not vote them out, so on and so forth. He actually makes like halfway decent progress with a couple of people, but ultimately it's not going to really go anywhere. Nicole does talk with Danny about, you know, they're nervous. Danny is nervous, as you mentioned. And Danny in particular is starting to get nervous about Memphis and how close he is to Christmas, because she's very nervous about Christmas. And if Memphis is close to Christmas, then that's worrying.
Oh, Danny, she's just so far behind. And, you know, it's like sitting and watching the feeds yesterday. Danny is so aggressive. Like she is. Has absolutely no subtlety. I know that you've said that for like ever. You've been saying that, but like, oh my gosh. She, I think in the exit interview that you guys did with Bailey, am I okay?
You're a little bit cutting out, but I think you're good. Hopefully.
Okay. Sorry. But the exit interview that you did with Bailey was saying, you know, Danny picks who she likes. She, you know, is very difficult to please. And it is so evident on those feeds. If I was in that house, I would be terrified of Danny. I don't know how Franzel, like, who's the most sensitive person in the entire world, and someone looks at her the wrong way and she's like, I feel weird around them. Like how she deals with Danny talking 3 inches from her face and grilling everyone about every single conversation that they've ever had. Like someone will sit down to talk to her and she'll just ask them rapid fire, like 17 questions about the conversations that they've had that day, and offer no information to them. And she sits on her bed with her legs crossed, like sort of hunched over, like looking at you from like below her eyes. And she's so scary. Like if I was sitting with her, I would be like, I was just talking about vegan food. You know what I mean? Like it's just a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how does Nicole deal with it? She doesn't. She wants Danny out. She gets really uncomfortable around Danny.
For sure. And I mean, there is good reason. Like I was watching it and I was like, I would not, like, I understand why people have turned on her, because she doesn't seem like a fun conversationalist to me.
What do you mean? Why are you being so annoying right now? Oh my God.
Okay, so what I was thinking is that Memphis and Christmas, like, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Interesting.
I mean, yeah, I'm worried about them. Yeah.
But like, do you think they have a final two?
I'm not going to tell you, because you're going to go and tell people.
I'm not. Oh my gosh. Why do you think that about me?
Yeah.
Right?
All right. Well, Cody and Memphis talk for a bit. They talk about how great it is for them that Christmas and Danny are going after each other, and that the Tyler's going after Danny too, and that's great. And they don't need to take these shots. Cody's like, Tyler wanted me to go after Danny this week. I'm not going to go after Danny this week. Do it yourself, Tyler. They're like, yeah, they should do it themselves.
For sure. I think we might have skipped over this because it was before the Dr. Will announcement. But I just wanted to bring it back because I think Enzo comes in that conversation too. And Enzo was cracking me up yesterday because him and Nicole, before the Dr. Will announcement, were studying.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicole knows a lot. Like, he was using Nicole as his, like, study guide, basically. And she would say something, you know, to him about days, and he would mimic it back. Like, she was asking him questions. And Enzo does know a lot, too. But it's obvious that he has been, like, really putting in the work to study. And Nicole already has done all that work. She knows a lot of the days. But then after the Dr. Will announcement, he started going around the house being like, yo, everyone's freaking out. Yo, yeah. People are studying. Like, it's crazy. People are studying now. And he's the one who's been like, will you study with me, please? Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's just like, it's why I keep getting, Taryn, because we did the Enzo preview before the season. And every once in a while, I'll get tweets from people still being like, you said Enzo was going to be so bad. Ha ha. And I was so wrong. I am a Stanzo. I claim him. He is
wouldn't
who
it be
I'm
a Stenzo? Flagging.
Stenzo? No, because it's a stan, right? You stan somebody?
Yeah, but Stenzo just doesn't feel... I guess. I like Stenzo.
All right. Well, I'll change the vowel next time I tweet about it.
It probably looks a lot better as Stenzo, but I think it sounds better as Stenzo.
Stenzo. I'm a Stenzo. Yeah, I guess. All right. You've sold me, Taryn.
I don't know. I don't know if I've sold myself, to be honest. But yes, he did. He was doing that. He was complaining about everyone studying. He also he studied with Cody as well. Not yesterday, but a couple days ago. And Cody also really knows his stuff mm-hmm. with this stuff. So, and, you know, just in case you were looking for, you know, things to hope for, Cody and Nicole are probably going to win a lot of these mental comps, if there are any in the end game. Anyway. Kevin and Tyler talked. Kevin is going to campaign to Tyler. His campaign to Tyler included finally admitting that, yes, I did vote you out. I did. I got caught up in the lie that other people were lying and I didn't want to stand out. But it was David's idea and he wanted to force Danny to show her cards because David thought that Danny was secretly working with you. And so to force a tie would mean that you would stay, but just show your cards. That's all. That's all it was. It wasn't anything that bad against you. And Tyler's like, I mean, thank you for admitting it, but like David owned up to it right away and you still put my life in danger in this game.
Yeah. And Tyler also, this conversation was really awkward. Like Tyler didn't make any effort to try and make him feel better. Tyler was just sort of like, yeah, man, that sucked. Like he just sort of let Kevin flounder for a few minutes. And Kevin also, I thought it was like super interesting. He was like, you know, I was just super sketched out by the fact that like you got put on the block and then you were asking me to play cornhole. And now I realize it's just because you're a chill guy. Like now I understand you just don't like freak out about things. You're just very chill. That's how you deal with things. And Tyler's like, yeah, man, I guess I got to work on that. Like being more emotional about things. But I just thought that was really an interesting observation from Kevin because it was the correct observation because Tyler was secure. But yeah, I just thought that it was interesting that he, you know, had twisted it around to try to be like, and that was the only reason. And now I understand I was wrong.
Yes. Well, Kevin has now admitted that to Tyler. Danny is going to talk with David. She is going to apologize. Oh, I'm sorry for putting you on the block, David. No particular reason that I'm bringing it up now. There might be some kind of bunch of evictions coming up, but just in case, you know, sorry that happened. No, I didn't mean it.
This conversation was so awkward. There was like 10 minutes. The conversation lasted probably 20 minutes. And there was 10 minutes of just dead air of them just sitting in silence, staring at each other. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I know that David does that. Like he's just fine with silence. But if I was Danny, I would at least be like, so how's your day been? Sorry that we left all those dishes for you to do this morning, because David did about an hour's worth of dishes in the morning when he woke up. You know, like try to make some type of conversation, but it was painfully awkward for me as someone who like tries to fill as much dead air as possible whenever I talk to anyone. I was like, no one's speaking.
It's the worst combination of people, because Danny is super awkward in that regard too. Like when Danny's not getting along, like I think a couple of nights ago, it was Danny and I think Christmas in the HOH room with Cody, and it was just silence, and Cody kept trying to be like, so guys, and like would get nothing from the two of them because they hate each other. There have been a lot of awkward silences with Danny, and then obviously David is the king of awkward silences. So the two of them together, just it's a nightmare.
It was really jarring for me. I was like, wait, they're not speaking. They're just staring at each other. And that's the thing. They weren't like busying themselves. Like if I was Danny, I would have at least been like trying to fold some clothes. They were just sitting and staring at each other in silence. I was like, is there sexual tension here? I'm confused. Obviously there's not. It was completely awkward, but I was like, that's the only reason why people would just sit in silence and stare at each other. Right. It was so weird.
Well, Danny does tell David, you know, I'm at the bottom. You know, the two of us, we're at the bottom right now, which is funny because they are. But I think she thinks she's lying to him in this moment, but she's actually accidentally telling the truth. And he tells her that he would love to, like, look, if I won an HOH, I would love to hear your ideas on what I should do.
Like, that is the lamest, like, pit. Like, I would be open to listening to you if I won. Like, that is, you're giving someone nothing, you know? You might as well just be like, leave me alone, you know? I don't know.
It's a little bit like the Ian pitch to, like, that he would do to Nicole all the time. Like, hey, if I won, you'd, like, let me know what I should do, right? Where, to try to make Nicole feel like she controlled him. My problem with this is that like it comes from a good place. Convincing somebody that they can control your HOH is always good, but you got to be a little more subtle, I think, than just like, if I win HOH, I want to know what to do from you, please. Thank you.
Also, like, you have to be more subtle. You have to talk to them more than once every 3 weeks. The conversation has to be at least half talking. I like can't get over it. It was crazy. Also, I think that there was something really, really interesting about the fact that when this thing went off, Danny immediately went and showed Nicole where all of her clothes were and started sort of gathering her things and packing them up just in case of a double. And David was down there pitching to her, and everyone else in the house was upstairs in Cody's HOH room. Everybody was in there hanging out. And I was like, girl, you're the only one packing because you're going to be the one going home. Like, notice that nobody else seems as nervous as you. Why do you think that is? Oh, Danny.
Yeah. Well, David is going to talk with Tyler. It's a good conversation. David tells Tyler that he's trying to BS Danny. And Tyler says, well, I think you're solid this week. I think you're fine. Unless everyone's lying to me, then I think you're okay. Tyler says, the only people I've got in this game are you and Enzo. You two are the only people I can trust. Just wait. If I win HOH, they're all going to expect me to put you up, David. I can't wait to shock them. I'm going to say, buckle up when I turn the keys.
What a shocker.
Oh, no.
It's going to be amazing when Tyler doesn't put up David. It'll be the most exciting thing of all of Big Brother 22.
What if Tyler said shocker as he turned the key?
And just like put his hands up like Danny did, like, yeah. Shocker. Oh, man. I mean, I think that Tyler also, like, both Danny and Tyler are two people who started to turn up the heat yesterday after they saw the Dr. Will announcement. And I have so much to say about Tyler. This has been a very difficult season for me, watching Tyler. My two favorite Big Brother players of all time are Big Brother Canada 2 Netta and Big Brother 20 Tyler. So I'm 0-2 in their returning seasons. Like, the next time I have a favorite player, I'm just going to beg them to never, ever play again. Because, oh, it's been rough. And the thing that stinks is that, like, watching this conversation between David and Tyler, Tyler is masterful. Like, by the end of this conversation, David is like, I know, like, you're the one who has my back. Like, Tyler found, you know, the in with David, or with David, to talk about how he's such a better player than Day. He's literally preying on exactly what David needs to hear right now to reel him in. He just, like, hasn't tried, it feels like to me. And he keeps going around and saying, like, I don't want to be the brat. I don't want to be the brat. But, like, if you're saying that, it's because you know that you could be the Brett. Big Brother 20 Tyler would never have thought that he could have been the Brett because he was the one that was about to stab him in the back. Like, I don't get the logic of where he's coming from with the, I don't want to be the Brett. Like, I just need you guys to know, like, I'm not going to turn on you. And
he's exactly the Brett. Like,
I know
what Brett did. In his season, in Big Brother 20, is that he went to JC, the unofficial member of Level 6, and he went to Tyler, and he was like, hey, let's get out Angela and Casey, like the two people that you're actually closer to. And it didn't work, because why would Tyler go along with that? He just cut Brett. And what Tyler's doing right now is he's going to Enzo and David, the Enzo, the unofficial member of the committee, and David, you know, the person outside, kind of the Sam, I guess, of the season, who Brett got close to toward, because he had no other options. And he's going to Cody to say, hey, let's cut Danny, and by extension, Nicole. And Cody's like, nah, I'm good. It's exactly the reverse situation, and I don't, and it's like you see that he sees it, but at the same time he clearly doesn't, because he's not changing it up.
He clearly doesn't, because he had like an Instagram tweet, you know how they're doing that, that was like, I could be wrong, but I feel like I'm in a good spot. And I'm like, Tyler, what? You are so much better than this. At the beginning of the season, when I would listen to you on the updates and you were like, Tyler's not turning up the gas for whatever reason, I don't understand. I, as a Tyler lover, was like, no, Taryn, you don't understand. That's just not how he plays. He wants to work with the people that he wants to work with. So he's building his army of David and Christmas and Bailey and Davon, and he's going to turn on them and go after them. And he really had the opportunity. And then it just... it's been really tough. Yeah. And I've been wanting to come on and talk to you about it for forever. I was like ready to come on and argue with you about how Tyler was going to turn it on and get so much better, but he just, for whatever reason, can't see it. And it's really disappointing, because like you were saying last night on the round table, he is so much more skilled than Cody could ever dream of being, and he has it in him, and it sucks.
Yeah, how ironic if the triple eviction leads to Danny and Tyler leaving Danny in the same place she went out in 13, and then Tyler in the second part of the triple, the part that Dr. Will quoted, be three steps ahead, and he goes out in the Brett position, having not been three steps ahead after the speech he gave to Brett in Big Brother 20 about being three steps ahead.
You know, I know this show isn't scripted, but I would have written that, you know, if I was writing out the rest of the season, that would have been, that's a good trope or whatever to have put in.
Yes. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh.
How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. Well, he does say that both Danny and Nicole need to go because they have Cody. David talks about Memphis having Christmas and that Memphis also needs to go. But Tyler says that Danny and Nicole are more dangerous because there's three of them with Cody versus just the two with Memphis and Christmas. But you can see where David's head is at as well, that like he's not as concerned with, you know, Danny and Nicole as he is with like Danny and Memphis.
For sure. That's where most of them are at, I think. I think Tyler might be the only one who's very seriously looking at Nicole, as he should be, because Tyler is a great player and he recognizes that Nicole is much more dangerous than Memphis. But yeah, he doesn't. He's not doing enough right now to get that point across. And in a conversation that he has later with Enzo, he really missteps. And I think it's going to really bite him, especially today. I think we're looking at a bad day for Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny talks to Tyler. She pulls him into the photo room. And he's like, oh, you want to talk to me?
It's
been a while.
He literally goes, oh, are you going to put me on the block again? Is that why you want to talk to me?
Yeah. I feel like we haven't spoken since you put me on the block.
And she's like, stop, Tyler. Oh my gosh. Stop it. I hate you. I hate you, Tyler. You're being so annoying to me.
Tyler, I like really like you. So I would never even like, I would be so mad at you if you took me out of this game because I like you so much.
I know, man. Like, it's fine. It's fine. We have our understanding. We know.
Final four.
Yeah, final four. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
They both tell each other they're at the bottom of the alliance. And once again, I think they're both accidentally telling the truth.
Also, like the thing about this conversation, and this is what I was talking about when I said, like, Danny is so hard to watch talk to people because she literally, like, Tyler sits down and she asks, what were you talking about here? What was David saying to you? Did Kevin pitch to you? What do you think about this? Do you think that Nicole and Cody have a final two? What do you think? And like, is basically interviewing him, offering nothing to him. And she straight up accuses him. And she was like, be honest. Are you working with Christmas? Are you super close with Chris? Be honest. Don't lie to me. And I was like, Danny, what are you doing? Like, no subtlety whatsoever. Just a conversation out of the blue after an announcement that something big is going to happen. Like, come on, Danny, you should know better than this. I don't understand.
I mean, this is how she's been interacting with people all season long. And it's why she's in such a bad position. She's very, very aggressive. Like, it's very off-putting to constantly. And Tyler later talks about this conversation with Cody and Enzo. And he's like, yeah, she was asking me if you have a final two with Nicole. And I was like, I'm not going to answer your question because I know you're just going to go to Nicole and say that I said that. And like every conversation with her is like a minefield. And she's grilling me about the conversations that I just had with David and Kevin. Meanwhile, David told me that he told her that he thinks I'm going after him, and she said nothing to me about that. So she's withholding that information from me, thinking, ah, ha, ha, David's going to go after Tyler. And meanwhile, grilling me about my conversations with him. She's not telling me that information. She clearly doesn't trust me. She's clearly coming after me.
The problem is, and like the reason that it's so hard to watch is because Danny is acting like she is like the president and all of these people work for her. Like she's like acting like it's her cabinet. And not only is she not the president, but like she's about to get fired.
Yeah.
Like she has nothing to offer back, and she's not even offering what little she has. Like I could not imagine sitting in a conversation with her and having her grill me about every single conversation I had throughout the day when half of them were completely inconsequential, and feeling like I left and got like scolded by my mother. You know, like the way she talks to Nicole, I'm sure that that's why Nicole is over her, because she literally like, and she's doing it to everyone. It's not just Tyler. She went to every single person yesterday and was like, did Kevin tell you his campaign? What did he say to you? And then she waits for them to tell her. And then she says, yeah, he said the same thing to me. And then that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah, she's like Memphis when he's won an HOH, except all the time, always.
Yes, when she has no power. And it's really hard to watch because you know she's at the bottom, but you know she has no idea that she is. And it's just tough.
Yeah. Well, so she asks him. Tyler says that Kevin finally admitted that he voted him out. She asks him if he's working with Christmas. He says no. Where did that even come from? She asks him, okay, so who's your final two? And he says, you, by default. I don't want it to like, be, but
she's like, I hate you.
I hate you,
Tyler.
I like you though. He says, for real though, I don't have any. In my season, I had like 9 and it screwed me up. And this is the problem. I think he's being honest. Like, I think again, like this is what he's been saying for since the beginning of the season in the preseason content. And it's just like, you know, Tyler, you need more final twos. Everybody else has them. You're the only one without them. And when everyone else has them, they're going to assume that you have them. And it's worst of all worlds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, Tyler. I just have a question. I think that Tyler, you've talked about it sort of all season, that he doesn't really like the people he's working with. Mm-hmm. He sort of fell backwards into it and had to stick with it. Like, I think if Tyler could have built his own alliance, Kacer would have been involved.
Mm-hmm.
He would have let Janelle be involved because Janelle would have been tied to Kacer. I think that it would have been David. I think that he would have still been working with Cody, but Cody would be in the position that Tyler is in right now. I just think that like there were a lot of people that left that he found himself on the opposite side of the house of and got scared. Like, I think he could have repaired his relationship with Kacer after Kacer was saying his name and have done something with it but he got scared. People were saying his name. He wasn't used to that. Nobody was saying his name on 20, and he sort of got backed into the corner of working with a bunch of people that he doesn't like and doesn't care about.
I think if Tyler had won the first HOH, there would have been an alliance of Tyler, Kacer, Janelle, Nicole Anthony, Cody, at least, and
Christmas?
Danny, Christmas, and David off, obviously. But, you know, he might want to keep them in certain other places. And Danny might be the first boot.
Yeah, that's what a season. That's so crazy to think about. Yeah. Danny, at least her legacy would have stayed intact.
And he probably still would have had like this side guys alliance, because like, you know, with Enzo in the house, they were always going to wait for Enzo to make some kind of guys alliance, but it would have been more real. Team Freeze would have been a real thing, I think. Tyler, David, mm-hmm. Cody, and Enzo, but they also would have had Kacer, Janelle, you know, and all of them on the other side. But yeah.
What can you do? That Danny would have been his first boot, really?
I really do. I think he came into the season skeptical of Danny. I think he knew about those tweets that she made about him. And because I remember in the first week, they had such weird chemistry. Like she was like, oh, I thought I would hate him, but I like him. And she kept trying to talk to him and he was just like,
We're cool. Conversation with him and David, or with Danny and David.
Yeah.
Just like people staring at each other.
Ugh. And Cody was not a fan of Danny in the first week either. Cody would have been all about going after Danny in the first week. So, yeah.
Dang. Anyways.
All right.
All right. Thank you for answering that question for me.
So Kevin talks to Cody. And he asks him, he's campaigning, can you be neutral this week? Because what he's been hearing is that Cody wants Kevin gone and people are going to do what the HOH wants, which, you know, is angering the internet. But it's not actually real. People aren't doing it because of what Cody says. They're doing it because they also want Kevin to go. So Cody being neutral doesn't actually help Kevin any, except for the fact that, like, if he actually convinced Cody to want him to stay, Cody could probably convince other people that what they wanted was for Kevin to stay. But he basically says, again, he won't put him up at all. He's just hoping for this one week. After this week, you can put me up again. And Cody's like, yeah, we'll be neutral. But he's not going to be neutral.
Yeah. And that came from Enzo. Enzo was like, mm-hmm. Cody's not going to do it. You need to get Cody on your side. And Enzo has really been working, I think, Kevin for his jury vote. Like, they've been have nots together. At the end of the night, they had like a really long conversation about their families mm-hmm. and their life. And I think that Enzo really wants Kevin to. And I also think that like Enzo does genuinely like Kevin. There's no reason for me to not think that. He's been looking out for him and trying to all season. But I think that Enzo knows that if he sends Kevin out of the house with a good taste in his mouth, like about Enzo, that's a lot of pull in the jury that he has with Davon.
So Enzo talks with Tyler, and they are anticipating that three people will be gone by the end of the week. And Tyler says it's time. Like it's time to take the shot at Danny and Nicole. They both have to go. Danny's so nervous. She just pulled me into a room for the first time in weeks. And Enzo's like, we would use David as a pawn, yo. And Tyler's like, no. We don't use David as a pawn. David would go home. You can't put David up. It's gotta be Danny and Nicole. They both have to go. Both of them have to go. And Enzo's like, yeah, yo, that's what I'm trying to say, yo. That's it. That's not it though.
It's not it. And Tyler chose to confide in Enzo, which was not the right choice. He should have been talking to Christmas about this one. That'll come back around later.
Yeah. At the time, I was like, yeah. I mean, Enzo's talked about loving Nicole yesterday, but he seems okay with Tyler taking the shot. It doesn't seem like Enzo wants to do it himself, but it's not like he's ratted. Ooh. Cody comes in. He talks with Enzo and Tyler. Cody says, who just got done with a Kevin pitch. Kevin's great at campaigning. He just had a great pitch to me. You know what? I have a lot of respect for Kevin as a player. That guy was great on his original season, and he just had a bad draw this season. Like, he's up against a bunch of people who are winning all the competitions. He hasn't been able to win anything. But this guy's good at the game, and that's why he needs to go. I know I'm not going to be neutral. You're too good. You need to go.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And he's right. If I was Cody, I would agree. I would be like, no way. We're keeping around David, who's clueless. And we're getting rid of Kevin, who's great.
Yeah. I also agree. Kevin has not been great this season, especially in the early portion of the season. He was really floundering. But he was put in a really bad spot from you know, day three or whenever the nominations were. It's really... I talked about this at the time. Nobody who survived the block in week one, who survived a vote in week one, the person who survived the vote in week one has ever gone on to win the game. They always, they tend to make like a semi deep run, but only because they're just hanging on and they're seen as low hanging fruit. And it's very easy to just string them along until it's time to cut the string. And that's exactly what's happened here with Kevin, that he has tried his best. He's been trying, but at the end of the day, if you're not able to win the competitions and you have no ins, you know, socially, then that's it.
Yeah. And he was talking to the cameras a little bit later in the day, and he was saying that this week feels really different. And he said that Enzo and Memphis, like, basically straight up told him that they won't vote for him. Like, he knows he's on his last leg. And he was saying that it's just been really, really tough for him this season. And last time he had such a positive experience, and this time it's been such a negative experience. And he compared it, imagine going to work and knowing everyone there is talking about you and they all want you to get fired. Like, I can't imagine. That would be really, really difficult. My anxiety would skyrocket. I mean, that's why I will never play Big Brother, but like, it, I can't imagine. And I have a lot of empathy for him, although he did in the conversation when he was talking to the cameras, he sounds like Igor in my notes, because he does. But like, I do have a lot of empathy
all the time.
Yeah, and I get it. I would be sad all the time too. I understand why, but it's just tough. I feel for Kevin. I have empathy for him for sure.
Mm-hmm. Memphis does talk to Kevin. He basically lets him know that as of right now, I will be voting you out. I'm not going to BS you. You're a bigger threat of, you know, than David. David doesn't know what he's doing. So I'm thinking I want to vote you out. And also, just so you know, the plan last week, it really did go wrong. I was not BSing you about that either. I really was trying to do what I said I was trying to do. Day already knows this because of the goodbye messages. The implication being you soon too will know for sure.
Oh gosh. You know, I actually don't dislike Memphis just straight up telling him, because mm-hmm. there is no hope. There is no shifting. I would do that too. I think if I knew for sure there was no shifting it, that nothing could possibly happen, I would be straight up and tell them, because Kevin's going to respect it, because he's going to remember Memphis was the first one to tell him rather than people giving him false hope. He already knows that this week is bleak. Because Memphis is telling him something that is the truth, when he tells him about what happened last week, that implies that that is also the truth, because why would he lie? He's already telling him he's not going to vote for him. I think that Memphis can get away with something like this because Memphis is no BS. You know, like, when you talk to Memphis, you don't really think that he's going to BS you. And when he does stuff like this, you feel at least like, okay, at least Memphis was straight with me. So I don't dislike this from Memphis.
See, I have a theory, because okay, this has become a big thing this season, that like, hey, don't make me look stupid. Tell me if you're going to vote me out. And a lot of that has come from Devon, especially in her speech. She was saying like, hey, the people who were up front with me about the vote, like, those are the people I'm going to vote for. If you weren't up front with me about the vote, I'm not going to vote for you. And who did Devon play with two times? James Hewling. Who loves to ruin blindsides by being honest with the person that's going home? James Hewling. Boom. James Hewling influencing the All-Star season. Everyone, good jury management. He's a pioneer of good jury management, that he is, you need to ruin the blindsides if you want to get the jury votes. And Memphis is doing a good job of it. He really is. I mean, just being up front, not only being up front and saying, hey, I'm voting you out, but he also, the way that he says it, he tells Ian, dude, you're smarter than me. I need you out of this game. He tells Kevin, you're the bigger threat. You're better at this game than David. that's why you need to go. He's doing the like Todd Herzog, like complimenting thing, just while he's still in the house on their way out the door, because you can't do that in the end. There's not enough time. I like it. I do.
I do too. And I think that as an anxious person, I mean myself, I would need to tell people because I would hate lying to them. But there's also like something about doing that in the fact that like you aren't lying to them, and then you can let it go, wash your hands of it, and you don't have to deal with Kevin for the next 3 days. You know, like you, he's not going to come back up to you and try and pitch to you again. And you're not going to waste a bunch of time. You can use that time to try to set up your next week, what that's going to look like. You can use your time on the people who are going to stay in the house. You don't have to sit there and placate, and you're still getting his respect and his jury vote, possibly.
And what's particularly interesting about it, if it works, is that everyone else thinks that Memphis can't win because his jury management sucks, because all of the like the biggest amount of jury management tends to come right at the end when it, you know, nobody will know about it because they're heading to the jury going, you know, at least Memphis is up front with me.
For sure.
But we'll see. We'll see. You know, sometimes it can seem like this is great. And then when it comes to a jury vote, people are like, you guys really thought that Memphis was going to win a jury vote just because he was honest with people on their way out the door. But, you know, we'll see. Kevin talks to Nicole. He promises not to put her on the block. Nicole mentions like, okay, but like, who else are you promising this to? Because you can only promise it to a certain amount of people. And he's like, who would you like me to promise it to? She's like, well, I mean, obviously, you know that, you know, Danny and I might be able to make something work for you, but we need more people. So like, if you could get Cody on board and you could get like maybe Enzo on board, then that would be enough votes with Cody breaking a tie for you to stay potentially. And Kevin's like, I'm in. I'll promise safety to those. I've already promised safety to those people. And Nicole's like, all right, here we go. And she runs upstairs and she talks to Cody Enzo. She's like, we should keep Kevin. He's willing to promise of safety. David's coming after me. We should keep Kevin. And Cody, who just got done explaining why Kevin is so good at this game, is like, this is exactly what I'm saying. I was just telling Enzo that Kevin is too good at campaigning. He's already flipped you, Nicole. And she's like, well, no, but he wants to work with like the four of us. And he's like, no. He's going to make that deal with everyone. This is why he needs to go. He knows what he's doing, and David doesn't. This is exactly why he needs to go.
So this is also, I was thinking about this last night. Like Brent was saying that Kevin needs to, I think it was Brent, that Kevin needs to look at the fact that Danny is the only one willing to vote for him and say like, oh no, I don't want your vote because that's the reason. Like he doesn't know where to aim his gun, and like, him right now offering people safety and saying he'll go up as a pawn, like that's, there's like so many weird details that he's going into. Like I have to promise it to four people and not six. Like there's just like information that he's getting bogged down in. And I wish that he would just make it simple for himself. Throw all that out. Be like, obviously this isn't working. I feel like I'm in huge trouble right now. I have to do something wild because if we voted right now, nothing's going to change. And I wish that he would pull a Christy Murphy and call out the person that he can recognize nobody is attached to very deeply and say, no, you're my target. I'm not promising anyone else safety because I'm only promising that I'm going after you. Like it's much easier to get people on your side when instead of promising someone safety, you're telling them that you're going after someone that they're not attached to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if he said he was going after Danny, that would help. But the problem is that David is already doing that. So we'd need to say he's going after like Christmas. That might help in Cody's eyes. Yeah, that might work. It could work. But he'd need to know to say Christmas, and he doesn't know mm-hmm. to say Christmas. And unfortunately, like, you know, these people aren't, you know, Jackson and Holly, like they're not as, willing. Yeah, was they're not like Jackson Holly at this point in the game thought they were covered at all angles when they weren't, and they still needed to win competitions in order to survive. And like, that's not as much the case here with this cast. But Nicole eventually relents. Fine, we'll get rid of Kevin. She talks with Danny about David being worried about David coming after them. And they say that if David wins the HOH, that they're going to tell David that Memphis was going to backdoor him. If the veto had been used during Memphis's HOH, that's going to be their plan. I'm not going to have a lot of time. Mm. But luckily, David already thinks that was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, this whole conversation was like really like Danny is speaking, like she's doing that whisper thing that you told me that she does, me, that you told the listeners of this podcast that she does, where she like mouths
to you when I podcast.
Yeah, you do. That she like mouths words, and I literally went back like 4 times to try and hear someone's name that she was talking about, and I was like, I can't do it, I have no idea. But she also in this conversation, Danny, and this made me be like, oh no, Danny was like, it's so weird because I thought at the beginning of the game that Enzo was this huge threat, like I thought that he was winning all these competitions, and now I'm like, oh, what is he even gonna say if he gets to final two in a jury speech? Like, it's so ridiculous that I used to think that, and I was like, oh Danny.
Well, I mean, there's at least a little bit of validity to what she's saying, though, because Enzo really has taken a big step back in terms of the strategizing and winning competitions. And it does make me a little bit worried about Enzo's potential jury chances, because Danny's going to be heading to the jury soon, and she's going to be the first, potentially one of the first people from the committee to get to the jury and explain to the other people, like, this is what was happening. And Enzo wasn't in the big alliance. He really is being dragged along. And that might be their perception of Enzo. And it might not be until maybe Tyler, but maybe not. Like, there's nobody that can really explain Enzo's game. I'm watching Enzo's game from the feeds. I can barely explain Enzo's game. If he's sitting there with the people it looks like he's going to be sitting there with, I think he's going to have a hard time explaining that he's played a better game. Despite the fact that he's been in a really safe position all season long, he doesn't really have any big moves to his name as of right now. And the perception of him is that he's just kind of being dragged along by an alliance that he wasn't even part of.
Do you think that the perception, though, by the time that they get to the end of the game will be that he was dragged along, or that he worked his way around it and nobody ever wanted to target him?
I mean, it's so hard to know. It depends on how it plays out, I think. but as of right now, I don't think it's a good sign that, you know, people like Danny, who I think is going to be relatively influential in the jury house just based on her status as one of the first, you know, power structure members alone in the jury, is going to have an impact. And if this is what she's saying about Enzo now, she's probably going to be saying it about Enzo in the jury house when she gets there, you know, on Friday or whatever.
Yeah, that's such an interesting perspective that I didn't take when I saw that. I was just like, wow, Danny's read is so off on like Enzo's power. But like you know, perception is reality in the Big Brother house. So that is true. That's such an interesting point that I hadn't thought of.
Thank you. All right. Well, Cody talks to Enzo, this is after Kevin talks to the cameras. He thinks he's done this week. The fact that Memphis isn't voting David out is a really bad sign. So he realizes he's in some deep trouble here. Cody talks to Enzo. He says that Memphis really wants David out, that Memphis is thinking about putting David up on the block next to Nicole as a pawn, because he really wants to try and get David out. And Enzo's like, yo, I want David out too, yo. He won that 10K on your HOH, yo. I told him, yo, that's it. I told him that I was going to go for the 10K after he and Kevin got out of the competition. And in the first round, he took that $10,000, yo, on your HOH, yo. That's it.
I love Enzo. He's so funny.
And Enzo says, like, look, if Memphis is really gunning for David and like he's not gunning for them, then maybe he can trust Memphis a little bit more. And then Memphis comes in and they talk about how a triple eviction is a dumb idea because it ruins all the drama. That Memphis was looking forward to pissing people off. There's not going to be as much time to do that if it's going to happen real fast.
And they're like, you wanted to piss people off, you say, and we're in the jury phase of the game.
Exactly. They're like, mm-hmm. Memphis would be great to take to the end because everyone hates him except on their way out the door.
I mean, we could see a Memphis win. I am not counting him out at all. So, you know, you never know.
You know, I was much lower on Memphis last night on the roundtable. And then as these things, like to happen, right after the roundtable, I was like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Much better Absolutely. Position than I thought, considering this conversation. After Memphis leaves, Cody and Enzo talk some more about him. And Enzo's like, you know what? He's really going after those people. You know what? I trust Memphis. We should keep him until the Final Four. And I'm like, what? With Enzo?
I mean, yes, but like, at least he finally, like, in a very roundabout way, as Enzo tends to, came to the right decision for his game. You know, he was like, oh, so I guess Memphis was being truthful, yo. Maybe we should get out Tyler.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I, you know, watched in close last night because Tyler is in trouble here. I don't know.
I know. I was I was very frustrated watching you target Memphis, but did you have to do it right after I bagged you so hard on targeting Memphis and put and gave Memphis a 5 in the stock watch?
Because he heard you.
I guess so. That's just how it goes sometimes. Look, I would love to have the stock watch on Wednesdays. That's what I would always love. But this stupid episode's got to be on Wednesdays.
Also, last night you guys were talking about how Tyler has been like really running out of road mm-hmm. and like the road behind him is starting to crumble like more and more quickly. And it's just a perfect example of how last night at 7 p.m., Tyler was probably going to be okay. And then at 10 p.m., all this starts to happen and Tyler is looking like he is in a huge amount of trouble. And that's what happens when you don't put in the work that you need to make sure that you're super well insulated. And I don't know. Now this triple is looking like it might be a Kevin, Danny, Tyler situation, which would be really sad.
Yeah, definitely will be updating my percentages after this conversation. So Cody says that he'd love to get Nicole to try to target Tyler because right now she's going after Memphis. And Enzo agrees. He said, yo, Tyler was talking about how both Danny and Nicole need to go out. I don't want that, yo. I don't want Nicole to go, yo. And Cody's like, yeah, we don't want Nicole getting clipped. And now this could theoretically, as Enzo is, you know, likes to do, could be Enzo mirroring Cody. It could be that Enzo pushed back on Memphis to Cody last time. And Cody said, no, I don't trust Tyler. I would rather Tyler go out and I want to keep Nicole. So it could be Enzo doing the same thing that he does to everyone, going to Cody and being like, you know what? I do agree with you. I do want Memphis instead of Tyler. I do want Nicole. But I'm not sure that it is. I'm feeling
why would
like...
Why would he rat Tyler out then? Because there was a time early in the season where Tyler told him, maybe it was when he was like trying to pit. It was on Enzo's HOH week. He mm-hmm. was telling Cody, or he was talking to Enzo about how he really wanted Day and Bay to go after Danny, and how he was pitting them against each other. And he stayed quiet to Cody about all of that because he knew that Cody wouldn't be into it. And he was on Tyler's side in that. And so Enzo has shown that if he is like, he has the ability and the wherewithal to hold back information from Cody about people if he knows that it might damage them. And I don't know why he would rat Tyler out if the goal wasn't for Tyler to get a target on his back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's fully, I think he really does want Danny to go. Like, he still does want to damage Cody in some way. But I think that it seems like he's leaning toward Memphis now, but we'll see. I mean, really, if I'm Enzo, I'm not choosing between Tyler and Memphis. I'm getting out Nicole and Danny. Those are like, that's what I'd really rather him do. Keeping Memphis around is better than keeping Tyler around if you have to choose between the two of them. But if I were Enzo, I would want to be going after Nicole even before Danny, to be honest, because Nicole is the most dangerous person when it comes to her relationship with Cody. But what are you gonna do?
For sure.
So Cody says, yes, we don't want Nicole getting clipped. Cody says, we can use this information, the fact that Tyler wants Nicole out as well as Danny, to get her to go after Tyler instead of Memphis. And Enzo's like, yeah, yo, Memphis talks more game with me than Tyler, yo. That's it. And that is kind of true. Tyler has been asleep at the wheel, as we've been saying. But with this in mind, this is the reason why it changes the percentages. If Nicole ends up putting Tyler on the block instead of Memphis, that is going to dramatically decrease Memphis's odds of leaving and increase Tyler's odds of leaving. If Enzo is going to vote Tyler out when he's on the block more often, that's also going to increase Tyler's odds of leaving in the triple. So if you heard me last night say that Danny was the most likely, followed by Memphis and Christmas, I haven't done the math yet, but I would guess that the updated percentages here are a lot closer to Danny at the top, followed by Christmas and Tyler with Christmas, and then Memphis down in the spot with Nicole and David. So that I'd probably flip them a bit there. It's probably not exactly even like that, but Tyler definitely looking like he's going to replace Memphis in terms of person who is more likely to go home in this triple.
That stinks.
You got to be three steps ahead.
I know. And of course, you know, this season has been rough for a Tyler lover, and I've become a Stenzo, as we established earlier, but I still don't want to see him go now.
I think I've done damage to you and all fans of Enzo. I don't think
it should be a Stenzo still?
I think I was hasty in my criticism.
All right. I'll refrain from the change then.
I
can't help it. I'm still rooting for Tyler. I would love to see him, you know, Danny go home first and then see him pull out an HOH, and I would love to see if Danny goes home first and then he puts up like Nicole and Memphis, and then Memphis wins POV, and then he has to put up Cody. I think that that would be really fun. I think that that would make an exciting week following. I'm just team something exciting on Thursday. So
we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's what we have for you from the day, unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Maggie.
I think that the only thing that I wanted to bring up is that obviously, Nicole has gotten a lot of hate this season, and people really don't like her, like gameplay wise, but people also really have a problem with her personally. And last night when I was watching the feeds, they were having a conversation like about holidays, like when they were all cooking dinner. And it was like, I think it was a peek into how Nicole is in real life. And she seems so lovely and normal. And she was talking about her family and like how much she loves them and cares about them. And, you know, she's from the same area that I am. And she tugged on my heartstrings a little bit. And I just wanted to say that, like, if you need help, like, humanizing Nicole, maybe you should go back and watch that conversation, because she does seem like a sweet person. who I don't know why she came back. I think for her own personal, like if I was her friend and someone who cared about her, I would have told her never to come back. But I just think that Nicole is not the devil. And, you know, if you want to humanize her, maybe watch some of the group conversations that they have sometimes. She can be sweet and lovely. So.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for joining us, everyone. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Maggie, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at _MLMorgan, and I am on Instagram at @MLMorgan_.
All right. We'll, of course, be back later tonight to recap the veto episode of Big Brother 22. And then tomorrow I'll be back at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And then later in the day, I'll be live on Twitch to talk through the week, the triple and everything that's going to happen. And then I will also be live during the episode to react to the triple as it happens. So check that out. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.